WZZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Melissa has exploded in strength this weekend from a tropical storm to a Category 4 hurricane. The slow-moving storm is now heading directly for Jamaica. ABC's Anka Jachi is in Kingston with the latest.
Meteorologists say Melissa could become the strongest hurricane to impact the island in more than 35 years. In 1988, Hurricane Gilbert, a Category 4 storm, was widely considered the worst in the island's history. Now, with Melissa expected to make landfall in Jamaica Tuesday, experts warn its slow movement and track could have an even more devastating aftermath.
Two suspects have been arrested in connection with last week's brazen heist at the Louvre 1 week ago today. Police say the suspects live in a suburb of Paris, and we've learned today that DNA found at the scene is a match for one of the suspects. President Trump's in Malaysia for the ASEAN summit, and later this week, a meeting with China's President Xi. This is ABC News. On average, about one in every 20 delayed flights across the country is now being blamed on the government shutdown. And officials warn it could get worse this coming week. ABC's Faith Abube is in Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, the world's busiest, with the latest.
Air traffic controllers were set to miss their first paycheck of this shutdown. 2 weeks of work, $0 to take home on Tuesday. The president of the Air Traffic Controllers Union saying it is causing a significant amount of stress for the workers, making air travel less safe for all of us. Some of the controllers are even picking up side jobs, like driving for Uber to put food on the table.
Russia testing a new nuclear-capable cruise missile that's also nuclear-powered. It's designed to confound existing Western defenses. Video released by the Kremlin showing Russian President Putin dressed in camouflage fatigues, getting a briefing on a test of the so-called Skyfall missile that he said covered 8,700 miles. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. If you want fresh Wisconsin cranberries, now's the time. As Melissa Kay reports, the Badger State has dominated production for three decades.
Roughly 250 cranberry growers in the Badger State are expected to produce 65% of the global supply this year.
We're on a cranberry marsh. I will say in Wisconsin we call them marshes, not bogs.
That's Holly Herline. She's the communications manager for the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. At this time of year, cranberry beds are flooded for what's referred to as a wet harvest.
You do see lots of water here, but that's also unique to harvest. They are not in water all the time. They're grown on like a woody vine in soil.
Only 5% of the annual cranberry crop is sold as fresh berries. That portion is harvested gently to avoid bruising the fruit. Herline said fresh cranberries are only available in the stores from roughly October to November.
You really can only buy fresh berries around that time frame, so we recommend people to stock up. They freeze really well for a year.
Even though Wisconsin produces more cranberries than anyone else, it's still a relatively small crop compared to others in the state. Herline says different growers harvest in different ways, and equipment is mostly constructed by the growers themselves.
They are a very innovative bunch. They are not just farmers. They are engineers and mechanics and scientists and all the things. So very interesting.
The USDA National Agriculture Statistics Services projects the Wisconsin 2025 cranberry harvest to reach 5.3 million barrels. The cranberry industry is valued at just under $1 billion and employs nearly 4,000 people in the state. Wisconsin agriculture as a whole contributes over $116 billion annually to the state economy.
That's Melissa Kay reporting. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mainly sunny for today, a high in the upper 50s. A mostly clear sky tonight, low in the mid-30s. And more sun on Monday, a high in the mid-50s. After that, rain chances return for Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's 55 right now.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend sports and news headlines. Also be joined by our friend and colleague, Jane Matinere of Matinere on Air. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, welcome to the show. Oh my goodness. So, you know, every now and again, we got to take a break from the normal programming. And kind of have a special episode. We're going to do that. This week, we have a special Halloween episode with my dear friend and yours. We have a paranormal and true crime podcaster, Todd Michaels, dear friend of the show, wonderful man. Todd, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Y'all ready for this?
I don't know. Do you have any, like, traditions that you had from growing up or now?
Well, a couple of traditions, Halloween in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
When you're a kid, buying your costume large enough that you could wear a snowsuit under, right?
Yes.
Do that because every year it could either be really decent or you could have a couple of inches of snow that you had to go out in,
yes,
one or the other.
Yes.
I'll have to be honest with you. I'm kind of disappointed this year because last year I went all out on my house. And I had all the decorations, like huge skeletons, big spiders on the side of my house, the floodlights. I had a big bubbling cauldron out front, all that stuff. This year, I haven't done anything. And I don't know if it's because it just doesn't quite feel like it yet, but it is that time of year. So.
It is. Yeah, the Halloween costume that's warm enough, or, you know, the room enough to fit the long underwear and stuff that hits home. We would always watch It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Of course.
You have to do that. So I'm allergic to peanuts. And so trick-or-treating was never, like, you know, the most awesome thing in the world because it's like, oh, sweet. Thank you for the Reese's peanut butter cup that will kill me if I eat it. This is great. And then I had three brothers that we would all go home, and then we would have to do the great candy trade because Mark can't eat a third of his stuff. And my brothers were, you know, they were swindlers, Todd. They swindled me. They were like, you want this Milky Way? Okay, it's going to cost you three, you know, Butterfingers or whatever it was. So it was terrible.
So in other words, your parents had to check the candy for, like, the typical razor blade and all the bad stuff, right?
Yes.
But also because of the peanut, the nut allergy.
Yep, razor blades, yeah, in our rough and tumble neighborhood growing up.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so, but that was, that's kind of what we did. And
I'm kind of sad for you. That's really sad. I never even thought about that aspect of trick-or-treating.
Yeah, it was super lame. It wasn't very fun. But yes, but I wanted to have someone on to kind of talk about, you know, paranormal stuff, and especially here in Wisconsin. So I know you've been involved in some hunts and all these kind of exciting things. So how did that get started?
Well, I will always say this, like, I first got interested in ghosts and spirits and stuff like that when the Amityville Horror movie came out. Because that was when it was the first one really that I remember as a child where it was like, oh, here's a story about a haunted house. based on a real story, like true events, right?
Okay.
So I remember being like, holy crap, ghosts are real, even though your parents say they're not. And here's the funny thing about my family. So I wasn't allowed to know anything about it because it was, quote unquote, too scary. So my mom and dad went to the movie and my mom bought the book. Well, the only bookcase in the house growing up was in my bedroom.
Nice.
So the scary book was in my bedroom all the time, and I was not allowed to look at it.
Oh,
so I would sneak it out like most young men sneak other things out to look at.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at the Amityville Horror, and I did get caught one time, like lying in bed, reading the Amityville Horror, and I had to like put it under the sheets and stuff like that when my mom came in. So that was where it really started. And then I think for a lot of people like me, and I know you've investigated too, which I can't believe we haven't had longer conversations on that, but like when Ghost Hunters came out and the TV shows came out, you're like, wow, there's actually people going out and investigating this for real. It's not just kind of joking around kind of stuff. So that's really when I got into it, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, when that stuff came out.
Yeah, for me, when that whole thing started, I worked at Heritage Hill.
Oh, man.
And and I didn't think about that at all, you know, about paranormal anything. And then I was giving tours to kids because that's what I did. I took a year off between high school and college and was giving tours, and I worked in the hospital, which was one of the two buildings that are original to the soldier part of it. And it was in the middle of like winter time. It was freaking cold, and one of the doors was open, one of the doors was locked. The locked one was in the back. And the shoes that you wear have like a, they're called brogans. They have like a horseshoe almost on the heel, because that's what they wore at the time, because it protected the shoe and all that stuff. But it was very distinct sound when you walked over the wood. And I was giving a tour and I heard someone walking upstairs, and I'm like, oh, that's just the other dude. He's getting stuff, because it was storage. And I went up there, like, oh, I expect to see Chris, and he's not there. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that was weird. He's got his stuff and left. Gave another tour, same thing. And then I like, there's phones, and so I called the other room, and I'm like, what are you, or the other building across the park. I'm like, what are you doing? Why, what the hell is this? Like, are you punking me? He's like, what are you talking about? There's there's no one in there. And so then that freaked the hell out of me. And then one of the schools that came was the Oneida Nation. And there was one of the elders that like wouldn't even come in, because he's like, this building, it's messed up, I'm not coming in. Yes.
Right.
And then he did that. And then all of a sudden there was like bum, 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 bum upstairs. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, like what is going on? So that was like where that started in my head. There's something to this.
Right. Right. And I don't know how you are, but for me, it was when I first started, it was like, oh, I want to go see a ghost. I want to get scared. Right.
Yeah.
And then you start, and then you, for a long time, I didn't have any experiences at all. Like literally it was going out and it was investigating for hours and hours and hours and really being skeptical of it. And I think that's always good anyway. Like not everything is a ghost. We know that. But then it took a while. And then finally, at one point, I had a few things happen in my own home when I had a visitor come and do some investigating with me.
Oh, really?
And that then opened it up where I was having experiences more often. So I feel like that kind of plays into it. I think you're either open to it to start with or not. And I think the energy that you bring and the others, whoever you're investigating with, bring actually play a big role into whether or not you typically get any kind of activity and stuff like that. You mentioned Heritage Hill in Green Bay, but I think of all the places around the state of Wisconsin that are reportedly haunted, and then all the places, too, like that I've actually had a chance to go and investigate. And it's amazing. When I think back to some of the experiences I've had, it's freaking nuts.
What would you say? Like, give a story of one of the ones that you've experienced.
Well, I'll first off say that I think humans are scarier than ghosts.
Yeah.
And there's different levels of like the oh wow experiences. If you want to stick in Green Bay, I've never actually investigated at Heritage Hill, but I've always wanted to do that. A couple of places in and around Green Bay and the Lakeshore, Captain's Walk Winery, right? That place we've investigated before.
Really?
And got really got some really good evidence A lot of lights, light play and stuff like that, that we got in that area. And on the lakeshore, you've got, if you've not been to the Maritime Museum,
yeah,
you have got to go. Not only because it's because of the history, but there's definitely some activity out there.
Really?
And they've got plenty of stories about, you know, captains on some of the boats and ships that they have out there. But actually inside in the museum, there's some activity there as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is so, like, attached to the artifacts, do you think?
Or
do you...
I'm thinking, I mean, another one in Green Bay, it's probably one of my, like, if I had to make a list of the top 10,
yeah,
it would be in the top five, and that's the National Railroad Museum.
Man. Really?
That place has so much energy. And I think, I'm a believer that we leave behind our energy no matter what we do. And I think it's prevalent, or you see it on a daily basis when somebody walks in a room. If you've got a room of 20 people and somebody walks in, that one person can make such a big difference in the energy with that crowd, right? You can either bring the energy up and make it a great experience, or you can bring the energy down. And I think that we leave that behind, not only in our life every day, but I think in the places we go to. And so when you're talking about maritime stuff, lighthouses,
yeah,
and you're talking about ships, these people, that was hard life, you know, working on ships and running lighthouses and stuff like that. I think a lot of their energy was left behind. And National Railroad, I feel the same way about the railroad. Like, people who lived that lifestyle gave their all to that lifestyle. And really, you know, there was a lot of death and tragedy. But that particular investigation, we used something called a laser grid. Have you ever used one of those before?
I've not, but I've seen those on TV.
Yeah.
I've seen them being used.
So we were in the actual museum.
You did investigate the rail museum. Really?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was on the ones you wanted to. I didn't realize you went.
No. I've been there, and, you know, we were in the Pullman car.
Yes.
Which was primarily, you know, staffed by African-Americans at the time.
Yep.
And I remember when we were there, President Obama was the president. And some of the things we were asking was, do you realize that in the year that we are now, we have a president who is Black, right? Can you imagine that? We got some responses in there on our audio equipment that was kind of interesting. The main thing that happened, though, with that laser grid, if you've ever been to the National Railroad Museum, it's this just huge building with train cars and steam engines and all that kind of stuff kind of lined up. And of course, there's big pillars throughout the entire facility to hold up this huge building. And we had the light grid kind of going down the alleyway between the boxcars and stuff. And we kept seeing the shadow peek out from behind one of the pillars.
Oh, wow.
And I had never seen a shadow figure like that before in my life. And it just kept kind of peeking around me like, oh, my God, there it is again. There it is again. And all of a sudden it darted. And our director and producer went after it with a camera.
Okay.
And actually caught it on the big steam engine running up into the cab of the engine, into the like where the driver would be, it was amazing. We got that.
Is that posted somewhere?
It was on Amazon Prime for a long time. I'm not sure if you can actually get that program anymore. It was called Haunted State.
Oh my
but
God.
That is where we got that. And to be honest, I didn't see it at the time of the investigation. None of us did.
Oh, like really?
We saw the figures peeking out. We saw that, but we didn't realize that we had the footage that we got on the train. It was amazing. And so when we first sat down and actually watched it kind of as a premiere for us to kind of critique it and stuff, we were all blown away by it.
What the hell was that?
Absolutely. It was freaking crazy. I'd never seen anything like that before. So Green Bay, a lot of great hauntings right there. And you would expect that being on the water, right? The river's right there. And all of the tension that was there at that part of our country with the different groups trying to trade. You had the Native Americans, you had the French, you had all these people who wanted to set up shop there and live there. So there was a lot of tumultuous times at some point in our history.
Yeah, no kidding. And I was talking with Todd Michaels, who's the paranormal enthusiast podcast host guy. I'm gonna tell a story about the Railroad Museum when we come back, because we're members and we spend so much time there as a family. And so yeah, stick around. We're talking to Todd Michaels here on the Rational Revolution. We'll be right back after this.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines, and it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant, but environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I want to suck your blood. What are we with this? We've got a Halloween episode here on the Rational Revolution. Yes. So we're continuing with the dear friend, paranormal true crime podcaster, friend of the show, friend of mine, Todd Michaels. We were on the other side talking about the Railroad Museum and the Pullman car. And so this was, we started going to the Railroad Museum all of the time during COVID because it was a place where we, you know, the kids could run and just, or not during COVID, but when it opened. And it was a place where we could go and it was family friendly. And it's just, so we've been a member of the museum for a long time. And the Pullman car, for those of you who don't know, is from the Pullman Company. And as Todd said on the other side, primarily staffed by African Americans. And they're in that car. They have like TVs that you can push the button and hear someone speak, and it's computer generated. But one of them talks about, you know, what life is like, and there's a sign in front of the little room in the car that says, "Hey, they say a bad word here, and it's the N-word."
Yeah,
because they talk about it unfiltered, which is great. And so my son hit the button. And then, I mean, my wife is black. Our daughter looks just like her. And so my son heard that and was like, what? was that he was, you know, he can't freaking read that. And so I kind of sat him down and we talked a little bit about that, maybe a 45-second discussion on why they did that and why it's important and why we should listen to what he's saying and not, you know, it was cool. We walked out of that room and it played again. I didn't touch it. There was nobody else in there. And we turned around and it was playing. And so we went back in and watched it. And as we went out, it did it again. And so, you know, I was like, well, okay. Is that like a little, you know, hey, thanks for caring. You know, right. It was interesting.
It is interesting. And that location has, you know, there's something very close to my heart. My dad worked for the Chicago Northwestern Railroad
really?
His entire life.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there was a connection there for me. And they have a caboose there. I don't know if you had a chance to get in there.
We've been in every single freaking one of them.
Yeah.
Which one?
So the caboose, the red one kind of behind the Pullman car.
Yes.
On the same row.
Okay.
And we went on there, and my dad used to always tell me that, oh, the caboose guys, they got the easiest job. They just sit back there and make sure everything's okay. So he used to call them lazy and such. And so we were sitting there and we were doing a spirit box session, which is where you use basically a radio that scans all the frequencies trying to communicate, et cetera. And I was saying stuff like that. And I was saying, hey, my dad said, if you worked on this, you were lazy and blah, blah, blah.
Any truth to that?
Well, yeah, pretty much. And
care to respond?
I can't say what the response we got, but it was a blank you expression that came across.
Nice. You were cursed out.
Yeah, it was been cursed out a little bit. So it's been interesting. I a couple of other places in the valley that are really cool. If you ever get a chance to check it out. Deja Vu Martini Bar on College Avenue in Appleton was a location where we went in to investigate and didn't get a lot all night. You know, it was one of those things where you go in with all this anticipation and I'm sure you've been on investigations like that too, where nothing's really happening. Mm-hmm. But two things really kind of became aha moments for me that night. One of them was we were getting down to the end of the night. We were getting rather tired and we were in the main bar area, and right in front of us, like a couple of arm lengths away, there was a conversation that was being had that I couldn't quite make out what was being said, but there was nobody there.
What?
There were two people having a conversation right
in
front of me.
You saw them?
I didn't see them. I heard them.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and,
God.
And so it was like, what the heck was that? Like, that was kind of mind-blowing because I had not had an experience where that happened right in front of me. And then finally, at the very end of the night, I had a moment where a lot of people would go, oh, big deal. But to me, it was really significant because you watch these shows, you go out and investigate. And a lot of times people will say, well, if you want to talk to me, talk through this event, this device or press this button or make this light up. You do all this stuff. Right. And I'm thinking, what if they just can't do that? It'd be like me going up to you, Mark, and saying, I want you to answer this question. But in order to answer, you need to do a backflip with a half twist.
Yeah, right.
And then I want you to speak in German. And maybe you don't have the skills to do that. Right. And so I thought, well, maybe we're asking whatever's here to communicate in a way that they aren't able to, whether they don't have the skills or they don't understand. And I finally said, listen, we're at the end of the night. We're really tired. Whatever you do, whatever you can do really, really well, I'm going to count to three and I want you to do it. And I said it loud enough as we were kind of sitting around that we got it on the recorder. And I said, one, two, three. And at the count of three, there was this loud clank from the bar area.
Whoa.
And there was somebody over in that area. And basically what happened was the door handle on the walk-in cooler came all the way out and slapped back.
Whoa.
Which is something that had been reported at that location by the owners. They had told us that happens occasionally.
That's crazy.
So on the count of three, on command, that's the thing that they could use to communicate. And we saw it. We didn't catch it on video, but we caught it on audio. And it was just incredible to me.
Wow. I wonder, you know, it's always interesting to me, like, what are these things that are happening? You know, where are they coming from? And it's all of this is the search for, like, what happens next. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and I wonder if that's really the right question, because I wonder if it's what have we left behind? Mm. also what's going on around us that we don't even know about. We live our lives on this playing field and we know, you know, we kind of know what we know, but there's tons of stuff we don't understand yet scientifically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to continue the discussion here on the other side of the break. We've got paranormal and true crime podcaster Todd Michaels on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Melissa has exploded in strength this weekend from a tropical storm to a Category 4 hurricane. The slow-moving storm is now heading directly for Jamaica. ABC's Anka Jachi is in Kingston with the latest.
Meteorologists say Melissa could become the strongest hurricane to impact the island in more than 35 years. In 1988, Hurricane Gilbert, a Category 4 storm, was widely considered the worst in the island's history. Now, with Melissa expected to make landfall in Jamaica Tuesday, experts warn its slow movement and track could have an even more devastating aftermath.
Two suspects have been arrested in connection with last week's brazen heist at the Louvre 1 week ago today. Police say the suspects live in a suburb of Paris, and we've learned today that DNA found at the scene is a match for one of the suspects. President Trump's in Malaysia for the ASEAN summit, and later this week, a meeting with China's President Xi. This is ABC News.
Reminiscing with Rodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. In the lead up to the Sunday night football game between the Packers and Steelers, I had a chance to ask Aaron Rodgers about a funny photo of him in the back of a red pickup truck holding up a case of beer on their way back to the stadium one day. He talked about that and his days in the golf cart with David Bakhtiari.
You got unmuted, Mike.
What was happening that day, and talk about some of those times that maybe weren't so public.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly whose vehicle that was, but there was like a bunch of cases of beer in the back. So, you know, you guys would always take that walk back, and whether I was riding in the back of a truck or riding on that silly golf cart that D-Bog gave me, we were always messing around, having a good time. Those are some of the shenanigans and pranks. It got so crazy, some of the pranks they were pulling, that Mike at one point said, you know, cut that shit out, no more of that stuff, because they were doing some wild stuff.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Halloween creeps ever closer, and all the streaming platforms are well aware you might be in search of some good jump scares. Last week, TheWrap.com gave us some scary movies on HBO, and now they're sharing some Hulu offerings, which include The Fly, starring Jeff Goldblum. This 1986 film pulled a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and is positively disgusting and wonderful. If you want to be scared and laugh a bit, check out Scream. And for those of you who are true masochists, there is the positively disgusting Saw for your streaming Halloween pleasure. I think we are officially out of ideas to watch based on what is gaining traction right now in people's living rooms. The 2010 action comedy The A-Team is finding new eyes after its Netflix release. The film was based on the 1980s TV show with George Peppard and Mr. T. The cast is led by Liam Neeson, who shares the screen with Bradley Cooper, Jessica Biel, and Rampage Jackson. He'll never be Mr. T. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mainly sunny for today, a high in the upper 50s. A mostly clear sky tonight, low in the mid-30s. And more sun on Monday, a high in the mid-50s. After that, rain chances return for Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Currently 57 degrees.
Matinee on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend.
So, you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Right up there on the list of stupid. The president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Kristen Lierley.
They weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic.
Nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk about how the 2026 campaigns already feature several candidates hostile to the majority of voters who support women's health care rights.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Happy Halloween, everybody. Oh, my goodness. It's an honor to do something outside the normal bounds and to hang out with my friend Todd, who's a paranormal true crime podcaster, paranormal enthusiast, all of those things, and all-around good guy.
Before the break, we were talking a little bit about, like, is this the search for what's after life? And all that. And I kind of said, I feel like it's more like what has been here or what is here. Mm. So my parents passed away in the last several years.
Yeah.
And my whole thought concept of death and ghosts really kind of changed. Number one, I don't provoke anymore when I go out and investigate. Because the last thing I would ever want my parents to do, if for some reason my parents are still haunting their old house, I don't want somebody to go in there and be a jerk to them, right?
Yeah.
So I really want to be respectful, but I also feel like we don't necessarily get caught up in locations where our spirits can't leave. I really feel like when we die and our spirits are gone from our body, we can go anywhere we want and probably be in multiple locations at one time. I just don't think there's any strict rules to that anymore. You're not confined to your space. You can be anywhere. And the reason why I say that is because another opportunity that I had that just blew my mind was went to Kena Island Lighthouse in Door County. Yeah. Great location. It's always been a favorite of mine. I've always been really drawn to lighthouses for one reason or another. And again, I think that lifestyle, people who were light keepers, man, that was hard work. Like you had to make sure that that thing was lit. There was a lot of tragedy. A lot of people lost their minds doing that because it was very lonely. Families had tragedy. There were a lot of shipwrecks around the area. You've got the moving water of Lake Michigan there. I mean, there's so many things that kind of add up to paranormal activity. I went into it thinking, I think my mom's coming through today. And my mom had never been there before, ever. But she knew how much I enjoyed it. So went up. The lighthouse was actually closed for renovations when I was there, so I only got to tour the island and the oil building and the workshop and all that kind of stuff. And there's kind of this stone wall that surrounds the island, but then also is over by the workshop. And I just took some time and I just said, "Hey, Mom," I put out my equipment. I had a K2 meter, which measures EMF. I had a recorder. And I had a Mel meter, which also records EMF and temperature and some other things. And I said, "Hey, Mom, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you're there, will you please let me know?" And the instruments went freaking crazy. Mm-hmm. And we weren't in a location where there should be any electrical current that would mess with the equipment. We literally had it on a stone wall. And I was talking about one of the people I was there investigating with was a friend of mine who I think my mom would like very much, but the person's kind of crazy and nutty. And I think my mom would have enjoyed that. And I actually said, "You know, Sandy's here with me right now. I bet you really think she's a nut job, you know, don't you?" And I'm not lying when I say this, that the equipment responded almost in a laughter situation. If anybody's seen a K2 meter, the lights kind of light up. It's got a little meter on it. And it literally was like laughter that came through.
Wow.
And so at that point, I kind of realized we can be anywhere we want to be. And if there's a special place in your heart, maybe a loved one would come to you there. And not just in the old house that you grew up in. Your parents, your grandparents may come to you when you're in a location that you feel very connected with.
Mm. That's, yeah, that would be a very, you know, I'm sure that was a very emotional time.
That's crazy. It was one of the best days of my life.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Is there any truth to, you know, this is the Day of the Dead or whatever? Do people think that Halloween is like All Hallows Eve and things come out and things happen on this day that don't happen in others? Is that a thing?
I don't know if it's a thing. I do think that a lot of people think about it this time of year, right? It's top of mind because it's the spooky season.
Yeah.
And I do believe that we have the ability to fuel things to happen. Mm. Like if our mindset is on that and we believe it could happen, I think things are more apt to happen. So I'm not sure about the scientific or even the folklore part of whether or not Halloween brings more hauntings to us or not. But I do think that top of mind awareness. You know, it's like when you buy a new car, and you'll understand this. You buy a new car, you buy a Chevy Equinox, and all of a sudden you see a lot of Chevy Equinox on the road. Before that, you probably didn't even notice it. Yeah. And so, again, if it's top of mind awareness, you are more apt to actually see and experience things.
Now, if we're talking about the Todd Michaels, who's a paranormal, you know, enthusiast guy, like paranormal, it's not just like ghosts. You know, there's a guy that is on TikTok that my son and I watch, and he does like Appalachia paranormal, and it's like he talks about chupacabras or the Bigfoots and all these different
skinwalkers.
Things. Yes, skinwalkers, my gosh! Yeah. And there's some crazy footage and really terrifying stuff out there that no one can really understand. Mothman prophecies, all this stuff. What do you? I mean, have you ever dipped into that type of sector of paranormal?
I've not done a lot of study on it. There's a couple reasons. Number one, it scares the crap out of me.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, the stuff that I have watched is very, very intriguing. And it almost makes me wonder if the ghost or spirit portion of paranormal isn't somehow related to all these other things, Bigfoot and all that. Like, are we categorizing it because it's the only way we know how to categorize it in our human minds that these are ghosts? Or could it be a simple timeline slip where some of the stuff is actually going on? We're just not always able to see it or experience it. I think there's a lot of that in our lives. One of my favorite episodes of Ghost Hunters, which was my favorite show back in the day.
Great show.
They went, and I don't remember where they were at. They were at this big, huge mansion or whatever. And they were in the princess's room. The princess had this room that was supposedly haunted.
Okay.
And they were basically saying, "Hey, princess, if you're here, talk to us, you know, and hey, we just want to hear from your princess, blah, blah, blah." And they didn't hear anything back, but when they listened to the audio, she was there.
Whoa.
And not only was she there, but she was responding to their questions thusly. They would say, "Princess, are you there?" And the response was, "Of course I'm here. Where are you?" So it's almost like she was there, but she couldn't see them, and they couldn't see her. And I just wonder, was that a spirit? Was that energy that was left behind? Was that she was actually living her life at that time, but in a different dimension? I mean, there's so many things you got to have an open mind to think outside the, this is a ghost, this person died a horrible death, and they've come back to haunt the area or whatever. I don't think that's what it is. I think there's just so many things that we don't understand.
Yeah, and like, you know, it's interesting where you look at the movie, The Mothman Prophecies. I love that movie. But
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, it's really good. It talks about how this creature, comes to forewarn people about disaster. And it would be one thing if, like, okay, you know, this was a one-off in some town in Kentucky or wherever the hell it was. But, like dozens of people saw this thing. And not only that, that type of creature was reported in Fukushima in Japan before that whole thing. There's a Butterfly Festival in Joplin because of the butterfly people that all of, that they saw before the tornado. So it's like this thing that has happened over and over and over again that no one can explain. No one knows what it is.
Well, and we didn't have internet back then.
Right.
We didn't have social media. So how did somebody in this part of the world experience something that's so close to something that was experienced in another part of the world?
You're right.
I mean, that's why you almost have to take a step back and go, okay, we don't, just because we don't have proof of this visually or whatever, to totally close your mind off to the possibilities, I think is sad. When it comes to this stuff, am I a firm believer on everything? No, I'm not, because I have not experienced it. But I'm open to experiencing it and understanding more about it. And I think for you to experience paranormal activity of any sort, you have to have an open mind to it.
Yeah, or your mind will be opened by something that you really expect.
Some kind of anal probing or something from a UFO.
Right.
Looks like we're getting close to announcing some UFO stuff here in our country. So we'll see how that rolls.
I am fascinated by that. I'm listening to Annie Jacobson's book right now, Area 51.
Yeah,
but yeah, I was always this huge like nerd about UFOs, and not necessarily from like the alien perspective, but from, you know, different government projects that we don't know about.
Yep.
That's wild. Some of that stuff. Cause like, you know, you talk to, or you hear any of those big science geeks about what the universe is. It's almost like a statistical improbability that we're the only living.
Well, of course. I mean, come on.
Right.
And how narcissistic do you need to be to think that we're the only?
Well,
I weave.
No, there was this video that we saw, that Appalachia guy, and there was a guy that was riding a dirt bike through the woods, and he got to this part of a trail, and there was this huge tree that came down, and he was like, okay, well, this sucks. I can't hop the tree. And he got out and was like kind of checking out the area, and everything just shut up. It was just dead quiet. And then like there was this terrifying screech, and he's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And he got out of there, and it like, holy crap. Like there's so much weird stuff that is out there that we have no idea what it is.
And now with AI, you don't know.
I know. I
mean, the thing about AI, it's really cool. But now you can't even take for granted that the stuff you're seeing or hearing is real.
Right.
So it almost takes away any credibility a group or a person might have when they're trying to make a point, prove their point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. And, you know, with the alien stuff, I think the stuff that has come out just over the last handful of years, too, which, by the way, huge credit to Blink-182 guitarist Tom DeLonge, who formed a lot of those, the people that, the Nimitz video, that was released because of the Blink-182 guy and the Academy.
You're trying to tie in one of your favorite bands?
I am trying to, but it's,
I know,
it's totally
that.
True. And because he brought in that Lou Elizondo guy who was a high profile investigator for the federal government that no one knows who he was. And he brought in some of the people that were the ambassador to the UN and all those. That was from that dude. And so when all these videos are being released, that's not AI, because some of the stuff was from like 2004.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, classified for 20 freaking years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff's nuts. I do want to talk about that a little bit more on the other end of the break here with my friend Todd Michaels, paranormal and true crime podcaster, all around good dude. We're going to see you on the other end here on the Rational Revolution and the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around.
We don't get fooled again.
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Another one.
Welcome back. Oh, the ode to Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim, who's, by the way, previous host of the show, if you want to listen to those episodes that she did. It's all available, civicmedia.us. Yeah, all the socials, all the everything. Shout out to our dear state senator, who's a friend of yours as well.
Absolutely. Love that. Love that lady.
She's a wonderful, wonderful gal. That guy is Todd Michaels, who's also a wonderful, wonderful guy. Paranormal True Crime Podcaster. We're talking about, you know, because it's Halloween time and this is our Halloween episode. One more segment. So what have you, what are you working on that that people can, you know, find, and what are you doing?
Doing podcasting, that's the big thing. Haven't actually had a lot of time to do a lot of investigating, but I plan on doing some here in the next 6 months or so. Podcasting, realghoststoriesonline.com, that is a podcast that's been around several years and is probably one of the largest archived true ghost stories from actual people. They call in with their own stories. They write in with their own stories. We share them. We give our interpretation of them, our perception of them. And this has been going on for a number of years, and I am a rotating co-sponsor on that show and have been involved with that for a handful of years myself. But a gentleman by the name of Tony Bruschi, who I've known for a long time, started that long, long time ago. And if you like to hear, if you like to turn down, to light some candles, turn down the lights and put a flashlight in front of your face and tell ghost stories, that's kind of what it is.
It's
also interesting to hear so many different stories of the same thing. You always hear about the lady in white or the man in the top hat or the tall shadow figure, which also lends it to like people experiencing some of the same things, but in different areas of the country, et cetera. So I'm part of that. And the other thing I do and is my primary thing is podcasting true crime. And we do a live program every day, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Central called Hidden Killers Live. And we dig into some of the current true crime stories out there. Everything from Brian Koberger out in Idaho to Ellen Greenberg in Philadelphia. I mean, you talk about scary people. Ghosts are scary. But some of the things that these killers do and how they get around, we just did a series on Gacy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
There's a new documentary out about that. So that's Hidden Killers, True Crime Today. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts.
That's awesome. I mean, it's not awesome with the whole, like, how people are awful.
Yeah, well, you know what's really funny, Mark, and I've said this, that real humans are scarier. When I first took this job, I had not done a lot in true crime. It wasn't a forte of mine. So I kind of ramped up and I learned a lot and I read a lot and I listened to a lot of stuff. And I didn't sleep for like the first 4 weeks of this job because it is so freaky how these people operate and how they manipulate and how these narcissists get away with, you know, one of the stories we were following was Donna Adelson down in Florida. Had her son-in-law murdered, paid people to murder him, and then, you know, was surprised that she got caught. And it's like, what? You can't just do that. You can't just hire somebody to go have your son-in-law murdered because you want your grandkids to stick around. But this is what the woman did.
Oh, that's why she did it?
Yeah, that's why she did it. Yeah, because he was going to move to another part of the state or wasn't another part of the state.
Oh, no, you're not.
You're not going to take my sunshines away. We'll have you knocked off.
You could have been like, Donna, you could move too. Oh, I didn't think of that.
What's that? Yeah, what are you talking about?
Shoot.
Yeah.
Did that all wrong.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would be tough for me, you know, hearing about what, like, that's just horrible stuff that people do.
Yeah.
What with your stories about real ghost stories online.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there, you briefly touched on it, is there like common themes of what people experience from, like, you know, a breeze that they can't explain to then seeing a shadow? Like, what, is there something that's a common story?
Again, you do hear the lady in white a lot, right?
What is
coming
that?
Down the staircase and stuff. My personal opinion is it's not really a lady in white. I think we're seeing something probably trying to manifest, and we're seeing that mist that comes along with that.
Okay.
Our minds, our brains try to make sense of what we see.
Yeah.
And so if we don't understand it, our brain says, well, it's gotta be this.
Yep.
Or it's gotta be that. And that's some of the reason why a lot of us don't have open minds, because we think that we see something or we hear something or we experience something and it's got to be this, because that's what we've learned. The one thing that I think is really incredible is the number of healthcare providers, whether it be nurses or hospice care providers, who experience so many of the same things in their jobs. Yeah. Over time. That continues to surprise me.
What are they?
Hospitals where there's patients that there's no actual patient there. Obviously hospice nurses who have seen people basically leave their body and things of that nature. But those locations, you know, make sense that they have some sort of paranormal activity around them when people are coming and going so much.
So as we're wrapping up here, if you have advice for someone of, like, you know, someone asked me what's advice? I would say, if you see something or you hear something, don't try to brush it away and just kind of like, okay, what was that? You know, what advice would you give?
Absolutely. Investigate a little bit, right? Like I said, not everything's a ghost. Sometimes a bump in the wall of your house is because the pipes have air in them. You know, it could be that. But if you feel like it could be something, it could be something, right? People say, well, I think my mom visited me. You know what? There's a good Ask chance her. She probably did.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Todd Michaels, you can get his podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Real Ghost Stories Online, Hidden Killers Live, True Crime Today. He's that kind of guy. I so appreciate you hanging out. Happy Halloween, sir, to you and your family.
Good to see you. Enjoy that orange vanilla Coke.
Dude, I'm going to. Yes.
Brought to you by Orange Vanilla Coke.
I want to drink your Coca-Cola.
Blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. Awesome. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, everybody. Have a happy Halloween. Stay safe, and we will see you next week. Keeps on pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground,
and I won't back down. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. President Trump is in Malaysia for nearly a week-long tour of Southeast Asia with the goal of securing a trade deal with China. And Trump working deals with other trading partners. Trump spoke to Brazilian President Lula da Silva on the sidelines of the summit. ABC's Selena Wang.
Tensions still simmering after Trump imposed staggering 50% tariffs on the country, citing its criminal charges against former president and Trump ally Bolsonaro.
Brazil is, we're gonna make a deal. I think we'll make a deal with Brazil. We get along very well.
Trump signaling those tariffs could come down.
Authorities in France say they've arrested two suspects connected to the heist of priceless historic jewels from the Louvre Museum, and DNA found at the scene matches one of the suspects. Melissa exploded in strength this weekend from a tropical storm to a Category 4 hurricane. The slow-moving storm's on a collision course with Jamaica, already claiming three lives in Haiti and one in the DR. This is ABC News. The financial